Lesson 14. Seek first the kingdom and live by faith. There is certainly a balance between being a diligent provider and living by faith. These are not in opposition. Unfortunately, it took me a while to learn this lesson. Before I became a Christian, I worked for money if I needed it. After I rededicated my life to serving the King, I began reading books about devoted followers of Jesus like J. Hudson Taylor and George Mueller. They spoke about something called the life of faith. These men told God about their physical needs without telling any people. Only God knew what they needed, and they were counting on God to provide. As we know, except for manna from heaven, most of our needs are met through giving by the body of Christ on earth and not angels from heaven. These early proponents of living by faith, as they called it, were trusting Him to communicate their needs to others. J. Hudson Taylor and George Mueller were led by the Spirit to communicate only with God about their needs instead of the normal way of letting their needs be known to their church and other earthly individuals. There is plenty of scripture to support this practice, which is where these early faith missionaries got the idea. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This single verse is part of a larger section from the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. Communicate to the body of Christ. God does promise to meet our needs, and sometimes we need to pray and let Him provide. However, I have also observed in Scripture that there are other times when we need to communicate our needs to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul spoke of the collection for the poor in Jerusalem in Romans 15:26, Galatians 2:10, and 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. He was making a need known to the churches in his letters. Romans 15:26, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. Galatians 2:10, only they ask us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. And 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 3. I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. I am sending these brothers to be sure you really are ready, as I have been telling them, and that your money is all collected. Faith and diligence. As in most aspects of truth, there is a balance. During my first year of seminary, I had been working in the cafeteria a few hours per week and also working at occasional side jobs that would arise from time to time. After I began reading the books mentioned above, I decided to let God do all the providing. So I began saying no to the side work on the weekends and began just trusting for God to meet my needs. I surmised that I was now living by faith. In retrospect, I can see that part of me was sincerely trying to trust God and be spiritual, but there was another part of me that was just plain lazy. I was expecting God to do all of the work. I hadn't learned about meeting God halfway. It is interesting to note that during this time, I got plain hungry, as funds were at an all-time low. I began to learn that I needed to continue to pray and yet not limit God to provide for my needs by a miraculous check coming in the mail or cash mysteriously appearing in an envelope. God can provide supernatural manna from heaven if He chooses. He has that ability. However, during this period of my life, God was providing work as an answer to my prayers, and I didn't recognize it. I have come to the conclusion that God expects us to be diligent in praying and in working. Practice what we teach. In 1983, God called our family to step out in faith and trust Him alone to provide for our needs. We lived that way for 4 years and never went hungry. Our supplications were directed to God and God alone. We had no visible means of support, but our invisible, faithful God provided wonderfully. I also worked when God provided opportunities as an answer to our prayer. I labored part-time as a sign painter and as a substitute teacher at the local high school. This book wouldn't be complete or accurate if I didn't say that we have seen that God's hand has not been shortened over the years. Isaiah 59:1 declares, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or His ear dull that it cannot hear." If our good God calls you to live by faith and He leads you to tell no one but Him of your needs, I am confident He will provide for you in the 21st century, just as He fed and provided water in the wilderness for the children of Israel, and just as He met the needs of the disciples in the first century, and our brothers George Mueller and Hudson Taylor in the 19th century. The God of Israel, the God of the apostles, and the God of the early missionaries is just the same today as He was then. Malachi 3:6, "I, the Lord, do not change." Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." Let's pray. Teach us how to look to You for all of our needs, and teach us the balance of diligently working and diligently living by faith. Amen. By the way, if you're interested in books about these men of faith, go to www.christianbooks.com. Look for books, biographies about Hudson Taylor and George Mueller.